Welcome back to another.
Because okay. It's 2022.
Okay.
Welcome to another episode of Disciplined Stoners. I'm your host, Eleven.
My name is Winnie.
And we fucked up on the Zoom.
Yeah, okay, so we...
This episode is so important, too.
Yeah, it makes so much sense that we would fuck up on this cool episode because, hey, learning.
So excited we have Sir Eben Britton on, and we have such beautiful moments. So really, in the good news of this all, is we only recorded him.
Yes.
And not us.
Right.
So we're going to do a reaction like a play along.
Yeah, we're going to, what you see now is after the fact, but we think that it'll add value to the video.
You get to pretty much FaceTime with Eben like we did get to in beautiful, sunny Los Angeles. And
yeah.
Now we're just going to react to the video
I might try and do some lip syncing. I don't know. Who knows?
If we know certain special moments are coming up, but we'll just do a variant of holding up his book and just reacting, and just like you guys, and just listening, because it really is beautiful.
He has so many wise words that you will love to hear. So
gems.
Really, really excited about
this
episode.
Let's just get to it.
Okay.
Thanks for joining us, Eben, and everyone watching. You're in for a real treat. And we will be better Zoomers in the future.
Disciplined Stoners!
The gateway drug to mindfulness.
Gateway drug to mindfulness. Let's roll one up and take a hit. Gateway drug to mindfulness. Let's roll one up and take a hit. Gateway drug to mindfulness. Let's roll one up and take a hit.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome back to another episode of Disciplined Stoners. I'm your host, Eleven.
My name is Winnie.
And today we have a very special guest. I'm already geeking out. It's a very beautiful energy in the universe, a necessary, important energy in the universe that I've been following for a minute. I'm going to let Winnie do the proper introduction.
Yeah, you know that Evan flows and I do not. So our next guest's expertise is vast. He is a thought leader, public speaker, and greatness coach. Host of the Ebb and Flow podcast, former NFL player, and multi-author with his latest book, The Ebb and Flow, Basic Tools to Transform Your Life. It is our greatest pleasure to welcome the only, the expansive, Eben Britton.
Wow, what an intro. That's the best. Can I hire you guys to do that for me?
Yes.
Anytime, dude. I'll follow you around and freestyle rap about you to people.
Oh, so good. I love that. Thank you.
How's your day?
It's a magnificent day. It's beautiful. It's an incredible time to be alive. Life is a miracle.
It certainly is.
I feel really grateful and blessed and excited to chat with you guys. So
we're feeling the same. Congratulations on your latest book, The Ebb and Flow. We so have good. It here.
So good.
There it is.
Oh,
I love that. Thank you so much.
I love the cover.
I appreciate that.
Did your dad do the illustrations?
My dad did the illustrations inside the book.
Yes.
I actually did for the cover art, I did a 99 designs competition. I don't know if you guys are familiar with that. I was turned on to them through a friend who is actually an international bestseller, a guy named Sean Stevenson, who's written two incredible books. First one, Sleep Smarter, and the second one is called Eat Smarter. And he has a great podcast too, the Model Health Podcast. But I reached out to him because weirdly enough, his son and my daughter were in the same class.
Wow.
And he had just the most incredible advice. And this was spring of 2020. So COVID was happening and this book just started pouring out of me. And I reached out to him for some advice about how to go about publishing it. And essentially he told me, Eb, this thing is, your spirit is needing to get this book out. Mm-hmm. And that's the most important thing. And at the end of the day, he self-published his first book, which was a massive success. And then one of the big three publishers reached out to him about, I'm not sure if they did a reprint of his first book, but his second book he did with this publisher. And he said, frankly, he was like, Eb, self-publishing is the way to go.
Yeah.
And he shared just so much great insight with me and was so encouraging in getting this thing out there. So I really appreciate Sean for that. And he recommended 99 Designs. And honestly, it was so interesting, the cover in itself, because you fill out this big form. You basically tell these artists or whoever stumbles across your listing, your competition listing, what you're looking for, what's the essence, what's the ethos, what are they designing for you? And there were so many great designs, mm-hmm. but when that one came through, it was just like, that's it. You know, that's the design. That's the essence of what this book really is. And it's interesting because towards the end, you guys are kind of getting a fun little background that I haven't shared with anyone before.
Thank you.
Well, you guys opened me up to it, so thank you. So he, you know, the all-seeing eye can be sort of a controversial image, and in the deep dark holes of social media and the internet, that can spark a lot of like conspiracy theorists.
Illuminati, it's on the right. bill, but you're coming yeah. from the divine.
Yes, exactly. So the all-seeing eye as the primordial essence of the human being. It's like this energy that we all encompass and our God essence. And that's really what this book is about tuning people into their God self, their highest self, their inner guide, and allowing them to tune deeper into that.
Oh man, that's so beautiful and so important, and you are in the perfect position to do that because you've come from being an athlete, top level athlete, going through, we reading your book, the traumatic story, the tube of toothpaste in your butt when you shot up like that, last day, dude, no way, dude, that's great, and this super tragic thing, and then you went through all the, I kind of have this Western Eastern medicine narrative going on where I'm a little more floofy. I'm the dropout. That's just like, I don't know, smoke weed and be happy in my heart and my cells will be good and I'll be good.
No doubt about it. There's so much truth in that, dude.
Yo, bless. Thank you. And that's what I'm saying. It's so necessary for the third dimensional world and the answers that people need in terms of data. You're providing it and laying it out and being like, I went through XYZ. The way is actually through. Isn't that literally something you're like the way?
Yes.
Yeah. So
the only way out is in.
Yeah, it's in. Yeah. So it's yes. so beautiful to see that you like arrived there and that you are so balanced. These tools are so balanced between physical things like breathing, but also just like the perspective. It's also more esoteric than pragmatic. And that's so rejoiceful for me to hear.
I love that, dude. Thank you for sharing that. That's, you know, for whatever reason, it's just sort of my makeup that has always been the most interesting thing about life to me, is the unseen realms, the deeper mysteries of our human experience. I've always just felt called to that. I write about it in the book, you know. That's what drew me into cannabis, and that's what's always drawn me towards plant medicine and things like meditation and breath work, is that they give us access to these. They're excited in here. It's good energy over here.
They're like, weed is tight.
So it's, you know, I really appreciate you saying that. And it's definitely, that's always been my bent. And I suppose one of my gifts is that I come in this very, this highly physical vehicle.
Yes.
You know, I'm 6'6", I'm 250. During my football career, I was over 320 pounds. Yeah. And I come in this hyper warrior vehicle, but my soul essence is very light and subtle, and even more inclined toward the divine feminine.
I was gonna say I know this as well, having a physical exterior that you use and you dominate, and you talk about a lot of healthy masculinity, especially in the locker room, and then but you have such, I was gonna say that too, a feminine, a strong divine feminine to just cradle and be and hold space, and you know how in your book you say about kind of becoming the man of the house amongst that stuff and having to ground and taking that responsibility on. That's huge. So yeah, you're really at a beautiful space and time to like carry this message. So it's been a joy to read and uncover.
So
I appreciate that.
We don't want to like give away too much in the book, sorry. But well, first of all, we have been reading it out loud together. And I think we've cried 3 times
yeah.
while reading it, just because we resonate with it. Even in the, you know, the preface when you were talking about going to that cannabis convention for the first time and being exposed to the research and the studies and the data of cannabis and feeling sort of validated, you know, for the first time, and how there was all this, you know, shame prior to cannabis use. Where do you think we're at in terms of like the stigma around cannabis, because that's why we started this podcast. I think it's evolved since then, but like it, we really wanted to be a voice for positive cannabis usage.
Because you were saying, and even in the NFL, you would shudder at the thought of anyone finding out you're a stoner, and now you know you wear it on your sleeve, and part of that voice that's evolving that.
Yeah,
absolutely. I guess it depends where you are.
Yeah.
Time and space dictate truth in many ways. And maybe I'm not. Time and space dictate the reality we find ourselves in. And if you're in California, I would imagine Toronto, anywhere in Canada, cannabis is somewhat quickly becoming just a sort of natural part of this experience. And I think that's wonderful, because cannabis is a gift from Mother Earth. If you are familiar with the Dogon tribe of West Africa and their tribal mythology, or even just origin stories of where they come from, cannabis, they have a yearly cannabis festival where they celebrate when the people from the Sirius stars came, the dog stars came down and gave them the cannabis plant, the two dog plant from the two dog stars. And we could go into that story too. So it's even a cosmic plant, a cosmic gift of the universe to bring man peace. You think about, you know, the passing of the peace pipe. It is definitely ingrained in the essence of the plant to bring peace and balance back to the creatures that consume it, and that's, you know, for the most part human beings. But then, you know, you go somewhere like, I was just talking about this the other day, you know, you go somewhere like Texas, where they're actually the tip of the spear, surprisingly, in psychedelic legislation for things like psilocybin and other plant medicines, because they're actually setting up allotments for military veterans and other people to set up churches where psilocybin or psychedelic ceremonies are allowed and legal.
Yes.
Yet it's also still completely illegal to possess any cannabis.
Yeah.
Weird.
You know, so it's like, and meanwhile, you know, all of my favorite teammates throughout my football career who are from Texas were all some of the biggest cannabis users I know. You know, the Cowboys love smoking weed.
Yeah.
So, you know, and of course, you know, it comes with that, with the Cowboy way. I'm a big fan of the Cowboy ethos. You know, and so, and that mentality of living of and with the land and being in the flow of the universe and not being in a hurry to get anywhere.
Yeah, you tune yourself to the Tao. You like catch the pace of the
exactly.
natural time.
I love that.
Of everything. Yeah, you know the Tao.
Really
Tao
well
Ching.
Said. Thank well
you,
said.
Thank you. And I feel like everything is vibration. You know this. So if you just look at a cannabis plant leaf, that bitch is like,
yeah, totally.
Like, the edges of it, it's like you
totally.
Can intuitively arrive on the fact that this is probably good for you.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Yeah. So, I mean, to answer your question, Winnie, where are we at in the acceptance of cannabis as medicine? I think we've come a really long way, even in the last 5 years since I spoke on that first panel. In my own journey, cannabis is like, you know, it's like water, it's like air, it's just part of my, it's part of my daily ritual. And I speak about it as such. So from the microcosm to the macrocosm, I think on an individual level, many people are coming into it and beginning to realize how necessary and helpful it can be as a tool on anyone's wellness journey. But I think that, you know, you will undoubtedly find yourself in certain places where it hasn't gotten to that level of acceptance yet. But that'll happen, you know.
Yeah. It totally will. It's happening. It's evolving. I find it's so funny that humans in the third dimension need that data as though it's an excuse.
Right.
As
right.
though we need to explain ourselves more than it helps me not be stressed out or it helps me feel good. It's like,
it's a funny thing, isn't it?
You know, it's like we have to be like, no, this entirely sobering, not fun thing over here is like why I'm doing it. But over here, I'm just like, I don't know. I like my life more.
Yeah. Well, I think you're really speaking to the conundrum of the Western mind. Which is something I'm currently, my next book is going to dive into this wholeheartedly, because at some point along the line, and if you read a book like The Secret History of the World by a guy named Mark Booth, really amazing book, I highly recommend it for anyone who's interested in the evolution of consciousness. And he really looks at the history of humanity through the lens of the ancient mystery schools.
Yes.
Going back to the all-seeing eye, the Freemasons, the Golden Dawn, the Rosicrucians, and differentiating these ancient secret societies, which go all the way back to ancient Egypt, from the Illuminati. The Illuminati was like a very small sect that looked to manipulate and use the teachings of these ancient mystery schools, which in the simplest terms, were set up to ensure the evolution of man into self-realization, into
yes.
his greatest version of himself. Because it's all about the physics of how the universe functions.
I think, therefore I am.
Exactly, and goes back to things like hermetic alchemy. And,
yes.
the seven principles of the universe. And but when he talks in that book, he does a really beautiful job of articulating how consciousness has gone through this process of materialization over the last few thousand years. And he begins with, and for better or worse, and he really does it in a way that helps you understand why it was necessary for these certain steps to occur in our own evolution to get from point A to Z. And how, you know, you look at, when we look at Greek mythology and we read these stories of human beings, mortals, having these interactions with immortals, demigods, gods, fairies, nymphs, all of these to us which seem and sound like fantastical creatures. And so we read these mythologies and we look at them and we say, oh, that's allegory, or we say that's metaphor, we say that's mythology. But he argues that when those stories were being written, that was actually the experience of human beings at that time. They were actually communicating with beings that were interdimensional, so to speak.
Yes.
To put it in the terms of you know, our day and age, where to make it a little more able to understand. And so what he argues is that our consciousness was much more fluid than it is today. Where today it's like, no, this table is real. This, you know, the microphones are real. The chair is real. These are the real things.
Matter. And matter.
Yes, exactly. And so I think we're actually experiencing a renaissance. And Terrence McKenna talks about it as the archaic revival. But this renaissance of getting back to our roots.
Yes.
And these truly necessary components of our existence as human beings in this three-dimensional reality we find ourselves in, and opening ourselves up, becoming aware of, becoming sensitive to, acknowledging and accepting the reality of unseen energies that move in and out of our life.
Yeah, I feel like some people realize it. Like, I would consider you not a victim of matter. I call it victim of matter, because when you observe what is, I follow Abraham Hicks. I don't know if you ever listen to Abraham Hicks, but you realize that you can change this reality with your thoughts. And
yes.
Like, I parallel my energy to that and I align with that vibration, and then I manifest that whole experience. And that little like secret has been like a video game cheat code to that harsh third dimension you're talking about that we like measure. Because what is scientific fact? A recreatable thing. So we're constantly measuring. It's like once this version of humans 12,000 years ago, 13,000 years ago, once we've awakened, we're like, oh, look at this stuff. Look at this stuff. Look at this stuff.
Right.
Manifesting outwards. So yeah, I agree with you, man. I think that we are going through a whole, I mean, the fourth dimension is totally filled now. We're hanging out in the fourth dimension right now. Thought, idea, impulse of you. You're in my imagination.
Yeah. Yeah.
Thanks for being in my mind, by the way.
thank you.
You're great counsel. But yeah, that is fascinating, dude. You're right. There's something bigger happening. And then with NFTs and all the Web3 and metaverse stuff, like, we're really moving in that direction of building in the fourth dimension for sure.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Have you considered any NFTs yet? Have you been in that space?
I've been looking at it, and it's definitely something I've been immersing myself in, and my brother and I are, I would say, currently in the process of wrapping our heads around what our NFT is going to be, so stay tuned for that, yeah.
Looking forward to it. But no, you were touching on the hermetic laws and the natural principles. This is so good, like the law of vibration.
Yes.
I think it's number 11, and my name's 11, so I always love that that's vibration, so it's sound. So as audio, so I produce music, and as I started to understand the EQ scale on, like, produce, like, mixing songs, lower vibration and higher vibration, and where some sounds lay, I started to notice that social situations, some people don't even show up to some people.
So it's like, yeah, that's true.
And you know, you're so on point to such a mindful vibration. Like, I imagine that walking through that life, it's almost like you're going to have greater experiences just because of, like, how you hold yourself and how your energy is. Do you have any examples of manifesting anything that kind of, like, blew your mind other than, well, making it to the NFL?
Yeah, hello.
But you've been a powerful manifester so far, so I'm curious. Has there been anything that you were just like, holy shit, that clicked, and you realized that you were a powerful creator?
I mean, that's a great question. My life has become this constant stream of manifestation through the transformation of my perception.
Oh, yes.
And, you know, when I started becoming introduced to this esoteric ancient knowledge, you know, it was really interesting for me because as I learned more about it and started gaining this insight through study, I realized that from the time I was a little kid, I was practicing these principles of visualization and manifestation.
Naturally.
And so it's been really interesting to play with that now that I've married the understanding of my innate ability to do that with actual knowledge of how to do that and how to do it in a way where, you know, to be honest with you, I'm going through this really fascinating thing right now where I'm realizing that it doesn't have to be so hard. You know, I've spent a lot of time, and getting to the NFL was a complete example of this. Because in my vision quest of playing in the NFL, and which was a vehicle for me not only to transcend the darkness and chaos of my childhood, but it was a vehicle for me to prove to the world how big and scary and to be feared I was. And I have lived under this belief for a long time. And this is perhaps, it's undoubtedly epigenetic, comes through my family lineage, but it goes beyond that to probably many past lifetimes as a warrior, having taken a lot of souls, having been through many, many battles, a lot of pain and a lot of suffering, that in this life I feel as though this is my life of healing.
Yeah, you're balancing the Dharma for sure.
And so it's been this really interesting experience of letting go of my deep ingrained belief that it has to be done the hard way and that it all has to be done through my own self-will. and aligning myself with God's will, divine will. There's a really powerful book I read called Right Use of Will. And I don't know if you guys have ever heard it, but it's basically a channeled text by this woman named Sandy Rohan. And it talks about, the most important thing it talks about is that the two biggest issues with human existence right now are judgment and denial. And because of our, sorry, I have to walk to my car so that I can plug my phone in and charge it. But so, because of our judgment and denial and our belief that everything, I'll see you guys. I'll probably see you tomorrow. Thank you. It's my favorite place. It's called Sun Life Organics. They're just the best.
Oh, did you get a smoothie?
Yeah. Oh,
what kind?
Yeah. I actually got a samurai bowl, which was fantastic. It's got like goji berries and all kinds of good stuff. Raw cashew butter.
That's
amazing.
Perfect in the sun.
Treat the body right.
Totally, man. So sorry, guys. I know this is a little funny and informal.
No, this is real life. We're all about this.
Perfect. It's perfect. So I've lived with this belief that it has to be the hard way. And that book really tuned me into this idea of aligning with God's will, divine will, which we're all tapped into, you know? And it really doesn't have to be hard.
Yeah.
You know, it doesn't have to be painful. It doesn't have to be so difficult.
And that's so interesting.
But the process of allowing your divine unfoldment to happen, it comes with allowing and letting go and constantly surrendering.
Allowing, exactly.
You know, and so.
That's exactly what I was thinking.
Thank you.
Oh, you got.
And so for me, can you hear me?
Yeah, I'm just thinking I can hear myself too.
Oh, let me turn this off. Can you hear me?
Yeah, that's better.
It's giving you, okay, let me,
I think that's
fine. I'm going to turn off, I'm just going to turn off the Bluetooth, so.
Oh, yeah, there, sweet, there that's we good. Go.
That's better.
Yes, yeah. Awesome, thank you, bro. No, you, with so, the allowing, exactly.
For me, and this idea of manifesting the life of our dreams. Essentially, it's about how do we be the greatest version of ourselves?
Yes.
You know, beyond anything. That's what the whole book is about. It's about, at the end of the day, is there anything more important or more desired than just waking up and feeling good?
No.
Thank you.
That's it.
Like, there's so many different diets and workout plans and
follow this, follow
that. Treatments and all kinds of things that are constantly, we're constantly being bombarded by. And
it's distracting.
There are many distractions, and it's really very simple, and we have access to everything we need right here inside of us. Yes, you know, we don't even need the cannabis. We don't even need the mushrooms. We don't need the ayahuasca. We don't need any of it. You know, these are fun tools and entities to play with and dance with and to enjoy, and they're here for us to enjoy and to remind us of the truth of ourselves, who we are and what we are. But at the end of the day, like, you have everything you need in this fucking incredible vehicle that is your body.
Dude, I know, excuse me. You can heal yourself like slower Wolverine. Excuse me.
It's true. You know, it's just, it's totally true. But, and once again, going back to this materialization of our consciousness and the evolution of the Western mind, where we've been disillusioned by the majesty of our humanity. Ooh. Everything I do is about reminding people of the majesty of their humanity and helping them tune back into themselves so that they can be the greatest version of themselves possible. It's nothing I'm doing. I'm not, I love what you said, a greatness coach. I think I'm going to use that from now on.
Yeah.
You know, it's nothing. I don't have some magic sauce. It's you have the magic sauce in you.
Practice. Just.
And it's just about turning on the faucet so that you remember that you have it inside of you already. And nobody outside of you can give you that. You know, it's something amazing. Like, you two guys, you're amazing human beings. You have great energy. You're doing great work in the world.
Thank you, brother.
I can say that to you. A million people can say that to you. And it doesn't matter unless you know it. You know, and that's the same with me. It's something, it's yeah. super powerful. It's been a super powerful realization for me, is that people tell me all the time, Eb, you're so great. Eb, you're so this. Eb, you know, you're so zen. Eb, this, Eb, that. You know, and it's like, that's great. But until I started believing that and knowing that and living as though that were true, it doesn't mean anything. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. There's this really fantastic movie my brother and I watched a few weeks ago called Sir Gawain and the Green Knight. And it's a movie that they made off of an ancient mythological, perhaps true tale about Sir Gawain, who was one of King Arthur's Knights of the Round Table. And he was the most pure. He was the youngest of all of King Arthur's knights. And the story goes that on Christmas Eve, they're having this feast, this celebration, and this fucking giant green knight, who could otherwise be categorized as the essence of nature, the green man, he comes riding into King Arthur's court, and he challenges King Arthur's knights to a game. And he basically says, you get one blow to strike me with my axe. And whatever damage you do to me, I get to repay to you in 1 year time. So Sir Gawain jumps up. He's like, I'll take the challenge. And he fucking cuts this guy's head off, the Green Knight, thinking it's going to be over. And after a moment or two, the beheaded corpse goes over and it gets up and it picks up the head. And it's like, I'll see you in a year. Come find me at the Green Chapel. And so, of course, Sir Gawain's, everybody's just like totally blown away. They don't know what to do. They don't know what to say. Like, how is this even possible? And so now Sir Gawain has a year. And of course, inevitably, the year comes and he has to take this journey to go to the Green Chapel to be repaid his debt, or to pay his debt. And the story is all about him coming into the truth of himself and I won't spoil it for you, but it's the ultimate hero's journey. And that is the hero's journey. You know, we think we have to do something to gain the honor. We think we have to do something to be worthy. And we don't have to do anything, because we are worthy. We were born worthy. You know? And that's the journey that we're all on, is coming back to the place of believing and knowing that we are worthy.
Mm. Yeah. I think, I'm sure some of our audience at least can resonate with wanting to feel worthy and intellectually understanding that they should and that they deserve it, but they don't know where to start on that journey to get to that place.
Mm-hmm.
Right? That's interesting. But there's definitely
That's the ultimate thing. My book will start you.
Yeah, I was going to say, like, I have some tools right here.
Exactly.
Perfect. I couldn't agree more. I think, I mean, we're huge meditators. It's non-negotiable for us every day. I think 7 years for 5 years now at this point.
Yeah, when I first started meditating, it was like painful in my brain, but now it's every day, probably twice a day.
Yeah.
Sorry.
I love that.
Yeah. And it like completely changed our lives, like fully upside down to go inward.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
The self-awareness thing is interesting. You literally have to choose your stimulation like your book instead of just living life out there, because I think your self-worth is repackaged and sold to you. Your freedom certainly are. Ring. Sorry, I went too far. But your self-worth is constantly marketed to you in a way that's like, if you get this product that's outside of yourself, it will solve your problems.
Yeah.
There would be an industry collapse if people were all of a sudden not insecure. So,
true. So you're right.
We can't totally be away with that. The human isn't done doing that yet. I listened to this native prophecy that was like, we're just coming out of the age of understanding of what it's like to be an animal on this earth. Finally coming into like the erect momentum of like being a human. We're like in the crossover time and the cycles that humans go through.
I feel that.
You know, we're like, yeah, because seriously, football, dude, I was a quarterback in high school too. It's like just getting flattened and getting your ass kicked. There's something DNA, it's appropriate. It feels good.
Right.
Hit each other. So that's so animalistic. That's so like UFC, like, and it's beautiful. So we indulge it, and it's like feeling your masculinity and that divine aspect as well. But yeah.
Absolutely, man.
We're gonna ascend, and thank you, bro. Thank you for being you, man. I love your content. And I look forward to diving into your book like even more and even further and seeing how your journey unfolds. I'm fascinated with how you had your dreams come true as a football star, and then the universe was just like, oh, no, sorry, Eb, over here, buddy.
Yeah.
Dragged you there. So
that's how it goes.
Yeah. It could only get cooler from here.
Yeah.
Man.
The ebb and flow. You gotta get this book. That is the best name. You have the best name. It's perfect for your book.
It's not a yes or you. No. Check the flow with ebb and flow to let you know.
That's it.
Like the letters go. Yo, any closing thoughts, my man?
Thank you guys so much. You can get the book on Amazon. The only way out is in, y'all. You have everything you need within you. You're a magnificent manifestation of the universe, and know it, believe it, and live as though it were true.
Yes. Thank you so much.
I love that. Much love. We'll talk to you soon, guys. I'll see you next episode. Go check out Eben's book, and love you. Be well. Thank you.
Be well. Thank you. Love you.
Drug to mindfulness, let's roll one up and take a hit. Gateway drug to mindfulness, let's roll one up and take a hit.
Hey, Wynn!
Oh my. Yes?
We got a new thing.
Oh, right! We need to tell you about our new thing.
Support the show now on Patreon and get a bunch of private perks. Big fan. Okay. Fucking lucky. I'm happy with that. Hands together for Lonnie.